Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Have you ever heard of a murder ballad? You're hearing one right now.
So I poisoned that dear little girl on the banks below.
Murder ballads arrived in the U.S. during the 1700s and 1800s from Scotland, Ireland, and Britain. As their name would suggest, these songs are ballads about violence. I should offer a quick warning here that the following segment contains content that may upset some listeners. Murder ballads were shared over the years with lyrics that have been repurposed to reflect images of the Deep South. The award-winning photographer and artist Christine Potter has released a book called Dark Waters. Christine's powerful black and white photos capture the haunting backdrops of murder ballads and feature a dark Southern Gothic vibe. Beta Steve Gotcher was curious about what inspired her to use her photographic skills to create such disturbing images.
Probably 2 years ago, I started putting the images in sequence and thinking about ways of dealing with the fact that music was such a integral component to the way I was thinking about work, and I can't easily integrate music into the book form. So lots of work went into just trying to find the right rhythm, the right sequence, and the right integration of text. I started with the landscape. I was thinking about the history of violence in the Southern landscape and sort of the cultural tendencies here, the Southern Gothic tendencies in literature and cinema, which, you know, often portray these kind of dark, macabre sort of things happening in the South. And I first started by moving through the landscape, sort of asking myself the question whether an echo of the violence that has happened here, was perpetrated here, whether that still lives in the landscape today, whether we're kind of affected by it. Of course, there's landscape everywhere, so I had to come up with some architecture to be in a particular place. So I thought, well, I'm going to follow bodies of water that have violent names. And, you know, the provenance of those names are often not known, but things like Murder River or Bloody Creek, for me, that was just like sort of an architecture to put me in a place and to begin making pictures. The murder ballad thread came in about a year later, and it felt wholly related to this question I was asking myself about sort of the cultural tendencies in the South for writing certain kinds of stories, making certain kinds of films, and, you know, storytelling in song as a component of that.
Please tell me where's her head. Please tell me where's her head. Earl Bryan's dead, can't find.
What is the connection between the song lyrics you chose and the images in the book?
It's loose. I mean, one of the challenges of integrating text and image is that our instinct as readers is always to read the text as some sort of caption, that there is this like sort of one-to-one relationship between the image and the text. And for me, it was almost a reason to not include the lyrics because I didn't want that sort of one-to-one relationship. I chose ballads where this gendered violence occurred, where a man has killed a woman for whatever inconvenience she's representing to him in his life. And, you know, I just took excerpts from those ballads and kind of tucked them in to the sequence of the images, sort of reminding you, I guess, of the potential in the landscape, reminding you of what we carry psychically in our minds, women, the potential for violence, and hopefully not drawing too direct a relationship between any one photo and the lyrics. Part of what I hope people realize, even in spite of the fact that these ballads feel of another era, is that these stories are still incredibly contemporary.
We went to take an evening walk about a mile from town. I picked kicked a stick up off the ground and knocked that fire girl down.
Your photographs depict landscapes in the southern United States. It seems that it sort of helps perpetuate a stereotype of the violent South, but also violence against women happens everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's all true. I do tend to work regionally, just as a matter of practicality. I was toying with like stereotypes and the myths that we tell ourselves. So that's always a component for me and whatever I'm doing. And so when I decided to work in the South, I mean, part of it was that I grew up here. And I thought, well, I spent a lot of time trying to get out of the South as a young person. And I did for 20, 25 years, but I'm back now. And I kind of thought I was ready to, I don't know, sort of investigate those ideas, some of which are stereotypes for sure. But, you know, it is also true, like statistically true, that there is more violence perpetrated in the American South than anywhere else in the country. And that may just be as simple as like, it's more populated than other areas of the country. It could be that simple, but I don't think it's quite that simple.
Right, right. Interesting. Many of your photos make it difficult to tell exactly what's going on, what we're looking at, especially as we get toward the middle of the book. How does this relate to murder ballads, and what was your goal in kind of putting all that sort of in the middle?
Yeah, I mean, there is a chapter, something of a chapter in the middle that becomes very disorienting. Part of that is experiential, you know, looking at water, it's never twice the same. It's really deep or it's really reflective. And, you know, if you look at it, it can be disorienting. But I think I was also sort of interested in creating a sequence in the book that maybe put you into the position of one of these women in the murder ballads, imagining a tussle in the landscape where I'm seeing up and then I'm seeing down and then I'm kind of falling sideways and then maybe I'm in the water looking straight up at the sky. These are sort of like embedded reasons in like creating relationships between pictures. It doesn't have to be how you read it, but I'm interested in the fact that you notice that. I think that gives me some pleasure that maybe, you know, sometimes these little Easter eggs really do work. I was thinking about like, you know, what does it look like when you're being dragged through the forest or when you're being knocked down or when you're being submerged?
Yeah, and that's the feeling I got as I went through it. And suddenly I'm plunged into this world of, I don't know what's up, what's down, what's sideways. What are some of the images that reflect the theme of your book that you like the most?
You know what's funny is the very first picture in the book, the picture you see before you even get to the title page, was a total outlier. One of those pictures that I liked, but I couldn't figure out how it fit. I have dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of those. But that particular picture is of a woman seated in the forest. Her hair is wild and long and her eyes are closed. To me, it somewhere in the editing of this book, it became one of the most important pictures. And the reason I put it at the beginning of the book is it's I want you to enter through her thoughts. You see a woman engaged entirely in her own experience. She's not looking at you. She's looking inward, if you will. And for me, what became clear in the editing is as much as I was talking about real places and, you know, real stories that have been written and sung and celebrated, I'm also actually talking about women's sort of psychic weight, the stories we carry that we've been told our whole lives, which inform the way we move through the world. And so for me, maybe that picture has become one of the more important when it was almost entirely edited out for a long time, which is how it goes.
I'm a music programmer, and I find it really challenging to play murder ballads on my shows, mainly because of the graphic and brutal content. But then I look at some of the people who perform them, like Joan Baez, Dolly Parton, Nora Jones, and I wonder why I feel so uneasy about the songs. Do you think that murder ballads have a place in art?
I think art deals with the full human experience. And this is part of, you know, violence is certainly part of the human experience. It's an inextricable from life.
Is there a murdered that dear little girl down on the banks below?
Yeah, I certainly am not proposing any censorship, but I do recognize the dis-ease we feel when kind of confronted with it in a certain context, like song. That feels in a way so much less easy to consume than watching it on a television.
You print song lyrics in the book with specific phrases still readable but lined out. Why are those particular phrases chosen? Why did you do it that way?
Circling back to your discomfort in playing murder ballads or feeling like you have to acknowledge the violence in a way or refute it in a way, it's the same instinct I have in the book. And I thought, am I just perpetuating this violence by, you know, writing these lyrics? What is my role here? And working with my editor, Leslie Martin at Aperture, and our designer, Julia Schaefer, we went through dozens of ideas of how to respond to that violence in a sophisticated way, in a knowing way, and also with purpose. So the phrases that are crossed out are the overt acts of violence. There's kind of a strike through in them. And that's me sort of disempowering those words, acknowledging them, but disempowering them at the same time. And that was the last option we landed on, and we all felt like it kind of handled all of those needs in a way that also let the violence, you know, you can see through that line to read the text.
The women in the photos appear to be apprehensive in a lot of cases, yet very defiant, as if they may be frightened, but they will not submit to their fate. You staged those photos, I assume?
Yeah, those are the only, well, they're almost the only element of the book that's really staged. They're made in a studio and the women are wet and, you know, we have to use strobe lights. So yeah, it's all very orchestrated. But inside of that orchestration, there's also things I can't predict, you know, gestures or expressions that I can't, you know, totally tell them to do. So, you know, there's still a lot of exploration for me there photographically. But yes, I mean, we spoke a little bit about defiance, but also fear and power.
Right. There's one photograph that I assume is a candid shot, maybe it's not, of two men fishing. Tell me a little bit about that photograph.
Yeah, I mean, that picture was made very quickly. It's on the periphery of Neuse River in North Carolina. So that was a name that sort of compelled me to walk along the banks. And, you know, it is true that in a lot of these stories, it is fishermen who end up finding the bodies.
Two boys went out fishing, went to find some deer. They saw little old me go floating away. They threw the net around her and pulled her to the shore. The body of old me was searched.
So in a way, that was like the entry point for sort of including it in the edit. I didn't know, again, you know, I make a lot of pictures and, you know, finding the thread that joins them is sometimes obvious and sometimes really tangential. But I think the initial thought was, who is down by the river? There's always a guy down by the river. And there's usually a couple guys down by the river. And me, as, you know, a person walking along rivers, like I'm also experiencing that, coming upon a man or two men down by the river. And what they're doing may feel totally innocuous or it may feel threatening. And I think both of those are kind of in the book.
It's also interesting that the photograph, upon a glance, you could say that the black male is being subjugated by the white male, that he may be brutalized in some way. And then again, you look again and you see that the one man is helping the other man bait a hook. But there's so much subtlety in that shot that if you sit and think about it for a long time, and given the context of the book in general, it seems ominous the first time you look at it, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the ambiguity at play. I'm not interested in making really didactic pictures. And so part of the power of that picture is its capacity to play both ways. Women aren't the only people who feel unsafe in this landscape. And I try to make that very clear. I'm telling one story here and it feels very binary, but I'm incredibly aware that it isn't just me and it isn't just people like me.
What do you want people to understand about the topic you're trying to convey here in this book? What do you want people to come away with?
I want it to offer an experience. I want people to reflect on the beauty and the possible fear that can exist simultaneously. I want people to consider the commodification and celebration of violence against women. I want them to consider the sort of contemporary circumstance of that and how we participate in it, and also to consider there could be different outcomes to those stories.
Christine Potter, thank you so much for talking to us today. Your book, Dark Waters, is a fascinating, brilliant work of art.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this conversation. Thank you.
Christine Potter is a visual artist and the creator of the book Dark Waters. She spoke with Steve Gotcher. Find out more about Christine and her photographs at wpr.org/beta.
I think what you get in Walter Hill's films is a guy who's very open-eyed, very clear-eyed about the way that the world is.
Coming up, film critic Walter Chow joins us for another episode of Walter on Walter. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.